It's the bottom of the ninth, the score is tied, and you're up. Does that sound familiar? If you were here last week, that should sound familiar, because that really is how I began opening the scriptures with you last week. And the story goes on like this. It's the way Charles Swindoll approaches the passage of scripture that we'll address this morning. And he goes on and says, picture it. You're a member of a baseball team playing its most important game of the season. It's the bottom of the ninth. The score is tied. The bases are loaded. And you're up to bat, taking a few practice swings on your way to the batter's box. You look down at third base, or at the third base coach, for the signal, expecting a swing away sign. You begin to churn inside when he dips his hat and licks his thumb. When he begins to give the sacrifice signal. What? Fly out on purpose so our team can score? What about my .350 batting average? And so you're faced with a choice. Will you sacrifice or risk losing the game to go for a grand slam? Will you play for your own glory or for the glory of the team? And so that's the way Charles Swindoll opens his work on the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to invite you to turn with me there, because go in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 9, because we're continuing our series on the book of 1 Corinthians entitled Wise Up, Clarifying Confusion with God's Wisdom. Remember, the church at Corinth had so many questions and so many problems and so many things that were swirling about that God in his mercy gives them God's wise answers to clarify confusion. And one of the problems that they ran into was that you had people in the church of Corinth that were individualistic, and they were very concerned about themselves and their choices and their liberties and their whatever, their desires, without taking into consideration the team. So the Apostle Paul writes to give them God's answers to help them through this. Now, the hot issue, remember, as we have addressed this portion of the scripture, the hot issue in their day was meat offered to idols. Remember that there in that city were many pagan temples, and very religious and ungodly city was Corinth, if you remember. And there were some people that would worship idols, and God in his mercy had redeemed people from this life of idolatry. He redeemed them from the blindness and the darkness of their sin, and he brought them to himself. And some are so grateful as they had a new life in Jesus Christ, and they grew to understand that all of that was falsehood. And it didn't really bother them anymore. But then there are others who came to the Lord. And for them, whenever they went by a temple, whenever they went to the meat market, as shambles is the word that's used for it sometimes, where they would buy meat that was good meat that had been offered to idols, for some, they just said, boy, that was just such a part of my old life. I don't want to go back to that. It reminds me so much of it, the atmosphere of it. I just don't want to do that. And for them, when they saw another brother and sister or sister in the Lord partaking of that meat, it became a real spiritual problem. And it was like it was just helping draw them back to the old life. And so the hot issue of meat offered to idols was the issue that the Apostle Paul addresses. And he finally helps the church at Corinth as he shares his view on it. In the end of chapter 8, he reminds them of this, that this is his resolve, if you remember. Verse 13, wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. I mean, I'll have the salad bar if it causes a spiritual offense to my brother. And then in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul helps the church to understand that they are not just about their individual life, it's about the team. Because life in a biblically based church is a team sport. And every member in a biblically based church has a role to play. And he begins chapter 9 with helping those believers understand the decisions they would make if they were to become a team player. And now he reminds them, as we come to the next section of chapter 9, about the goal of every believer. He reminds them that as team players making personal decisions, that they must be wise in their decisions, not just for their own life, but for the good of the team. Now, you are becoming biblically wise when you make your decisions not just on the basis of your own desire and your own life, but when you begin to make choices on the basis of how your life impacts others. So you've turned into your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's read beginning in verse 19. Would you stand with me, please? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. The Apostle Paul ends the section before and he says, you know, I have every right in the gospel, but I'm going to make sure I do not abuse my right or my power. And then he comes to this teaching, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without or outside of the law, as without the law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now, in this portion of Scripture, then, we need to know that when it comes to your decisions and your liberty in Christ, let's ask God to help us to be great team players, all right? We'll pray, and then you can be seated. Lord Jesus, unless your Spirit gives discernment and brings understanding that we do not have in and of ourselves, we will be unwise. And because our decisions influence people in our lives in ways that we may not understand, and sometimes we may not, because we are just blinded to ourselves so often, we pray that God, your Spirit, as we open this Scripture, from it you would speak, and that you would help your people to be great team players. And those that have yet to come to Jesus Christ and receive the payment he has made for them and this forgiveness of sins through his blood, on this day, God, speak to them, we pray. So we ask this, yielded to the Holy Spirit, insufficient of ourselves, but grateful for your mercy and believing that you will speak and help us today. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, this passage begins with the principle that guides great team players. If you're taking notes, you want to jot that down. The principle that guides great team players. In verse 19, we read of a word that is found actually five times in the passage. I'll read verse 19 again. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Now, in this passage, what word is used five times in five verses? It's used the first time in this verse. Do you see what it is? You skim it through, you'll find it's the word gain. Now, the word gain is actually a business term. It's a term that means to become more profitable. And with Christian liberty and Christian choices, you need to know, and Paul tells us this, it is not about what I get, but what others gain. So here's the principle that guides great team players. Here we go. Great team players choose to lose to help the team win. Great team players choose to lose to help the team to win. It's true in any sports team. It's true in life. It's true even in your personal liberty. In fact, the way the Apostle Paul describes it, when he says to us in verse 19, I have made myself servant unto all, he reminds us and uses language that is very strong and very clear that he was willing to become a slave in order to bless others. He was willing to give up his rights to lose, to help others win. And it's the paradox that he experienced that all who understand what it is to be a great team player learn. He understood and learned that he was free in Christ. In fact, he was so free in Christ that he had the freedom to lose his own rights, his own agenda, his own personal liberties in order to bless others and help others win. You know what you'll find in life? You'll find that whenever you're willing to give and you're willing to lose, you think, well, if I give up my rights and my agenda, if I'm going to be disrespected, if I'm going to put aside what I want, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to lose. In reality, what you'll find is if you're willing to lose, you'll help others win. And you know, in the long run, guess who wins? You win. And for you as a believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ, please understand that this is a paradox that we take by faith, that in reality, losing brings benefit to help others win. And if you want to know the great example of the greatest servant of all eternity, let me tell you who it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. I turn in my Bible to Mark chapter 10, and let me read to you what Jesus said. Whosoever of you, this is verse 44 and then verse 45, whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man, Jesus speaking of himself, came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Do you realize that Jesus was willing to put it all aside? He was willing to lose. Come to this sin-cursed world as the God-man, a sinless life. It takes him to a cross, and there he suffers and dies as a ransom, paying the penalty for my sin and for your sin, for the sin of the whole world, and resurrected from the dead in power. Jesus had to lose so that you could win and I could win. And if you have not yet received him, my friend, you are on a losing path. You will lose in eternity and in life for that matter. But he who lost, lost so that others like me and like you could gain. And if you've not received him, my friend, even in this, you can do it right now. Oh, Lord God, I can't save myself. I need someone who could save me. And in your, right there where you are in your heart, call on Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I receive you by faith to be my personal Savior for my sin, to be the Lord and God of my life. You could do it right there. So the Apostle Paul begins this portion of Scripture, and he tells us about the principle that guides great players. And then he tells about the practice that guides great team players. And as he continues telling his testimony, remember, this is a testimonial section. He's just telling his story. He tells about the people he was seeking to serve. And in the next three consecutive verses, he tells of three groups of people he's seeking to serve. First, he describes that he is tells that he is a servant to Jewish or to unsaved Jewish people. You'll see how he describes them in chapter 9 and verse 20 of the book of 1 Corinthians. He describes them this way: unto the Jews I became as a Jew. He's describing them ethnically, that I may, keep reading in verse 20, or that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law. He's describing them ceremonially. Keep reading. That I might gain them that are under the law. And Paul makes this personal determination that I will choose to lose in order to help Jewish people win. When Paul was with Jewish people, he was accommodated to Jewish people. He understood. He was a Jew himself. He understood that they had different ceremonies that were very much a part of their life. Some of them were biblically based, and some of them were just traditions. But he understood that there were some things that if he did this with the, in their presence, it would really cause a problem for their spiritual life and for them to come to Christ. He says, you know, when I'm with Jewish people, I'm willing to sacrifice of myself, and I'm willing to go along, even though if I want to have a pork chop, I can have a pork chop without any guilty conscience whatsoever. I have no problem eating a cheeseburger where I'm mixing my meat and my milk. There's a, from an Old Testament law, it's an extrapolation. I have no problem with a cheeseburger, but when I'm with Jewish people, I'm just going to give up my pork barbecue and my cheeseburger because I want to gain influence for them and with them for the truth. In fact, if you really want to know how far Paul took this and how serious it was to Paul, he had a young man that he met named Timothy that was a wonderful, faithful brother. His mama was a Jew, his daddy was Greek, and Paul wanted him to come with him on his journeys. You read about this in the first three verses of Acts chapter 16. He said, I want you to come, but wait a minute. Remember, his mama was a Jew, his daddy was Greek, and so the scriptures say all the brethren and all the Jews in that area knew that he was of this mixed marriage. And you know what his man, an adult, grown man, do you know what he was willing to do in order to go with Paul? So he wouldn't bring any offense to the truth of the gospel. He was willing to have, as an adult man, a surgical procedure. Circumcision. As an adult man, lose to help others win. And then there's another group of people that the Apostle Paul is telling. He's serving. He's a servant to verse 21, unsaved Gentile people. They're described for us then, the beginning of verse 21, to them that are without the law, as without the law. These are people that are Gentile people. They're not Jewish people. They don't have a background in the Old Testament law. These are Gentile people. But he makes this determination. Keep reading in verse 21, being not without law to God, but under law to Christ. Here we go. Here's his determination. That I might gain them that are without the law. You see, he was Jewish. His cultural background was Jewish. But in order to reach out to Gentile people, he was willing to lose to gain. You read in Galatians chapter 2 that Paul was in the church at Antioch, and he was sitting there eating with some Gentile believers. So he's eating with them, he's eating with Gentile believers, and he's eating Gentile food. Just like it would be very typical for them. So he's eating, and then Peter comes into the room. And Peter sees Paul eating Gentile food with Gentile people. Peter, the apostle, was a Jew. And Peter the apostle said, I'm not sure about that. And rather than eat with them, he drew a division. It's with the Jewish people. And the apostle Paul stands up to the apostle Peter and withstands him to the face. And he says, listen, you are causing division because you're not willing to lose to help other people win. Then there's one other group of people the Apostle Paul tells us about in this passage as he tells us of who he's seeking to serve. He's a servant to at-risk saved people. At-risk saved people. And I use this term and see how they're described in verse 22. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Now, who are the weak? I'm using the expression at risk. We read about the weak first in this book in chapter 8. So would you turn with me in your Bible, back a page or two, depending on how your Bible is laid out, to chapter 8 and verse 7, because we're told of the weak. Remember the issue, the big hot issue. Was meat offered to idols. And the spiritual significance of that for people who were vulnerable to going back to the old life and who could not get past the fact that this was all idolatrous and part of their idolatrous past or part of just the idolatrous culture in which they lived. And the Apostle Paul says, now listen, you need to make sure you don't eat any meat because you don't want to offend. And let me read to you how verse 7 says it in chapter 8. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience, being weak, is defiled. I use the expression at risk because these are people who are at risk of spiritually being offended. By that, there's a spiritual stumbling block that would hinder their spiritual progress. And Paul makes this determination then in chapter 9 and verse 22. Here's his personal liberty and his personal choice. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. You see, I want to help those people win. So even though I am free, I'm willing to lose to help other people win. And when you think about a personal application of that, about that in your life, I'm going to tell you about all my pet peeves. Can I do that? How many of you all have pet peeves, right? How many of you know I've got plenty of them? I'm going to give you my whole pet peeve list. No, I'm not going to do that necessarily. But when you think about it, I'll tell you this, there is not a one of us that does not have times in our life when we are at risk, when we're vulnerable. Because there are times in our life that we're vulnerable. There are issues in everybody's life that make them vulnerable. In your times and issues of vulnerability, yours may be different and probably are different than the unique person that is sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you. But all of us have times when we are at risk. And a team player realizes others are at risk and makes personal choices to lose even their own personal liberties to help others on the team win. So Paul gives his testimony about people he's trying to serve, and he was really passionate about helping people. He was passionate about helping others win, and he was willing to sacrifice personally to help others win, and he wanted the Corinthian believers to know the power and the freedom of losing to help others win. And so he ends verse 22 with these words, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Does that sound familiar? It really echoes the very theme he stated in verse 19, I've made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. Why does he repeat the same theme with different words? Well, why do you repeat things, the same thing in different ways to try to get your point across? Because it's something about which you're passionate. And it's the principle he's willing to stress, and he's seeking to stress, that we must all be willing to lose to help others win. Now, our flesh says, I want to win, whether other people win or not. But people that are biblically wise are willing to lose and sacrifice themselves, their own rights, their own freedoms, their own agenda, their own ego. Willing to sacrifice, that is to lose, if it means helping other people win. Well, in this passage of Scripture then, Paul tells us about the principles that great team leaders that guide great team players and the practice that guides great team players. But there's something else he tells us. But I think before I tell you that, I need to ask you this question. Does it mean because I'm free in Christ that I can do anything I want to as long as I'm helping reach people for Christ? Does that mean I can do anything I want to? I can do anything I want to because of my freedom in Christ to gain a hearing. Does that mean as long as I don't cause a stumbling block to my fellow believer, I can do anything as long as I'm just not bringing a stumbling block? Does that mean that I can do anything even for the noble goal of reaching people for Jesus Christ? And I would say no, because he tells us of the parameters that guide great team players. In verse 21, there's a parenthetical statement in the middle of that verse that gives the parameters that guide great team players. Would you look again at verse 21? To them that are without the law is without the law. Now here's the parameter, the parenthesis that gives God's parameters. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ. You see, great team players realize that even with a goal of helping others win, we are never outside God's law or apart from submission to Jesus Christ. It's true in team sports, isn't it? Professional team sports. See, every professional player realizes there's a team owner. And that team owner, along with the manager or coach, he is hired, they set team rules. And the game has rules as well. And every player knows that if they violate the team rules or they violate the rules of the game, there will be consequences. And every great team player, and I hate to even use the expression the game of the Christian life because, oh, it's not a game, it's a warfare. But for the sake of analogy, every great team player realizes that I am not my own. I am bought with a price. Therefore, my life's objective is to glorify God in my body and my spirit, which are God's. He's the owner. When you come to Jesus Christ, you're not your own anymore. Your rights are given away. You're His. And as the owner, he has right to your life. And as the owner, he sets parameters and he gives guidelines. And even with the desire to reach out and to help people win, you can't break the rules of the game without consequence. And so great team players understand that in life, in the spiritual warfare, there are parameters. And you know, so much of the problems the church at Corinth had were because they were outside of God's parameters. And in fact, that's really what this book is about. You read chapter after chapter after chapter, and we've walked these pages, and it's like every time you open a chapter, it's problem of the day. And no wonder they were so confused. And no wonder they had so many problems. No wonder they needed God's wisdom. And I say to you, and I say to myself, no wonder I get confused and have so many problems when I step outside of God's wise parameters to follow my own agenda and my own desire and my own flesh and my own wisdom. And maybe you have that problem too. Oh, but there's one more conclusion that Paul brings us to about team players and his testimony about his own life and the choices that he's making in his own Christian liberty. And the final word of testimony he has for us, you'll find in verse 23. I'll read it and then I'll share his word of testimony. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And here's his testimony. He tells us of the partnership that guides great team players. You see, a partnership, or we are called to a partnership in a cause that is greater than ourselves. The cause of Christ is a cause for which I will sacrificially serve. It is a cause for which the Apostle Paul testifies for which there are people whom I will sacrificially serve. It is a cause for which there are principles to which I will sacrificially submit. Now, this was a problem, this issue of meat offered to idols and Christian liberty and decision making, and what decision do I make when I don't know what to do? How do I make the right choice? This was a problem all across the ancient world. And the Apostle Paul addresses the same subject to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 14, and he makes a wonderful statement about himself and about you. In Romans chapter 14, in verse 7, let me read it to you. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. And he reminds us that we all influence somebody. We all influence somebody. Now I wonder, what influence do you want to be your legacy? You have this short life. How do you want to be remembered? What's the legacy that you want your influence to leave behind you? I read to you again from Charles Swindoll. He says it so beautifully. And he writes this, strike out or sacrifice. A hush falls over the dugout. All eyes are on you. Your teammates wonder if Paul's talk has convinced you to sacrifice. The umpire breaks the silence. Play ball. You're up. What will you do? Will you yield your rights to bring as many runners home as you can? Or will you ignore Christ's call to sacrifice and risk losing the game for the sake of your ego? We, your teammates, need your help to win. Won't you give it for the team? Would you stand with me, please? As you're standing, bow your head and close your eyes. I wonder how God has challenged your view of the decisions you make and of the liberty you have in Christ. I wonder how God is speaking to you about willing to lose to help others win. And it may be that as God is speaking to you, there areas he's opening your eyes to that you just didn't see, and you've been blinded to it, and now God in his mercy has revealed these things to you, and you have to do something about it. It may be that for you, you really need to align your thinking with God's view of things. And this means that there are things in your life, in your thought process, that need to change, and then your life will change, but you need to surrender your thinking and submit your thinking to God's view. Because remember, God calls great team players to lose to help others win. There may be some decisions you need to make about this. There may be some other things that need to be done if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. It may be that if you have yet to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, it may well be that you, as a person who is without Jesus Christ, that you need to be saved. It could be that you called on the Lord even in the service already, as we talked about his sacrifice for you. And as you thought about it, even there you called upon him. And you can come and tell the men who are waiting, I called on the Lord. And maybe you have questions. I want to talk to somebody about it. It may be that in our time of invitation, the truth has been preached. You have decisions to make. It may well be that you have to come and make just some, you and the Lord have some time. Maybe share with somebody if you want to pray with you about things that God wants to help you with in your life so that you can help others win. Whatever it is that God is dealing with you about, this is the time for you to do what God wants you to do while God in mercy is speaking. And so, Lord God, help the people in our congregation. Wherever they are, whatever the need, whatever you are choosing to do in their lives at this time, help them, Lord God, so that as they are willing to lose, they know what it is to gain and to help others gain as well. We pray this in faith in the name of Jesus. Amen. The